months of the year that we call January, February, March, April, May, and so on. Many of them come from Greek and Roman times. July, for example, is named after the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar, who had an ego so big he renamed the month after himself. I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody naming a month after himself, but Julius Caesar had such a big ego that that's where, and we still call it July to this day. April is named after Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love and beauty, maybe because that's when the flowers begin to appear and we see their beauty, I don't know. March is named after the Roman god Mars, the god of war. Lots of storms can come in March time, maybe that's partly the reason as well. And then there's January. Tomorrow's the 1st of January. January is named after the Roman god Janus, J-A-N-U-S. The Roman god Janus was a one-headed god, but it had a face on the front and a face on the back. It was the god of gates and of doorways. So one face was looking forwards and one face was looking backwards. And so the name January then became, I suppose, because it's looking into the old year and into the new year, that's where January has come from, and that name we use to this very day as well. And I want you to keep in your minds just that thought for a moment or two of something looking back and of something looking forward at one and the same time. Because that spirit seems to encapsulate Peter here in John chapter 21. As this gospel comes to an end, it's very much the encounter between Peter and Jesus that comes to the fore. Peter, remember, not that long ago had protested that he would never betray Christ. Oh, the rest will flee you and will flee, and the rest will betray you perhaps, but not me. And yet he had gone ahead and he had betrayed Christ, not just once, but three times. And it had left him a broken man. Matthew's gospel says, after the betrayal, Peter went out and wept bitterly. But then came Christ's restoration of Peter here in John chapter 21. And this kind of beautiful scene where they're on the shores of Lake Galilee. And Peter, who had been asked three times, do you know Jesus? No, I've never heard of the man. Is now asked three times by Jesus, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And when he answers in the affirmative each time, Jesus reinstates him. He forgives and recommissions him. And Jesus does that when we sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, says 1 John. And that may be good to remember as I look back on 2018 to the sins we have committed, to the mistakes we have made, that if we confess our sins, he restores our souls. But then comes Peter's Janus moment, as I've called it, verse 20. Peter turned. This is after Jesus has said to him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and so on, and follow me at the end there of verse 19. Peter turns around. Now here's the face looking backwards. And saw that disciple whom Jesus loved, that he was following him. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? What about him? Perhaps Peter heard the footsteps of someone coming up behind and it made him turn round. But instead of greeting John and saying, John, come over and join the conversation, Lord, what about him? Which seems a strange thing for a man who has just been restored to favor with the Lord to ask. It could be that it was just curiosity, that Jesus had just commissioned Peter to feed the sheep. So Peter is asking Jesus, well, what's going to be John's job? If I'm going to feed the sheep, what about him? What's his job? Curious. Or it could be he was jealous that he's having this intimate conversation with Jesus, and then John appears on the scene, and he feels threatened. because he wanted Jesus all to himself. He didn't want to have to share him with John. That's a possibility too, for these were far from perfect men, these disciples. But I think the real reason why he says, what about him, is because Jesus had just spoken to Peter about his death. That's that verse about when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Peter was going to be crucified like Jesus. His hands were going to be stretched out and led to where he didn't want to go. No one would want to be crucified. It's Jesus giving him a hint of how he's going to die. And Peter maybe doesn't want to be the only one who's going to die a martyr's death. So he says, Lord, what about him? Instead of concentrating on his own responsibilities and living up to his own calling, Peter is sticking his nose into somebody else's business. And he is saying, Lord, what about him? And from the tone of Christ's reply, verse 22, there is something wrong with Peter's question. Because Jesus says in verse 22, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? And I think that's quite a sharp reply. What's that to you? And Jesus has the right to speak sharply to us if we need it, to correct us, to realign us, to humble us. Someone has said that every home is a classroom for you to learn about yourself. Every workplace is a classroom for you to learn about yourself. And it's equally true that every church is a classroom for you and I to learn about ourselves as we encounter other people, and especially as we encounter the Word of God. Here is Peter being chastened by Christ's words. What is that to you? Why ask me about him? Jesus is knocking some of the rough edges off Peter. And again, all of us, I suspect, in 2018, if we've been coming to church faithfully and listening to God's word, rough edges have been knocked by Christ's word, if we've been paying attention to that word. Because Christ the teacher has been speaking and we have been hearing his word throughout the year. And Peter needs his rough edges knocked off. And maybe as we move out of this year, some of us are conscious of maybe we have heard things from the Lord this year that have been difficult, but necessary if we're going to grow and go on in our faith. So that's Peter looking back. He's looking back. But then Jesus says to him, follow me. Now Peter has to look forward. This is the Janus moment. He's looked back. Now he has to look forward. For Jesus says to him, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And that's a repeat of what Jesus said in verse 19. Follow me. Now it's the future. No longer looking back, Jesus says to Peter, let's look forward. Follow me. Jesus had warned the disciples in Luke's gospel, no one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And now it's as if Jesus says to Peter, Peter, you need to stop looking over your shoulder at what's behind you. Stop worrying about who's there. Stop worrying about the past. Stop dwelling on failures and fears about the future. These things are going to bog you down. Get on with the business of following me, Peter. Wherever I lead you, whatever I ask of you, whoever I want you to serve with, just trust me, follow me, and let me write the story. Let me be responsible for the chapters. Let me write the lines as I come to them one by one. I love the words of the hymn, I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things just don't happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. As we finish tonight, I think this is a word for all of us, because all of us have the potential to be under the spell of the Roman god Janus, just to be looking back. We hanker for the past. We watch over our shoulders. We poke our noses into other people's business. We dwell on failures. We dread the future. And we let fears about what's to come overrun our lives. Whereas Jesus says, what is that to you? You must follow me. Jesus is already ahead of us. He's in the future. So he says, follow me into 2019. Follow me into opportunities of service. Follow me into living life the Jesus way. Follow me into praying the Jesus praying way. The question is whether we're up for that challenge. And from the Acts of the Apostles, you can read on into the very next book here, and we read about how Peter was. In the first 9 or 10 chapters, it's all about Peter and how he faithfully served the Lord. He fades out of the book, and Paul takes over in terms of the leadership of the apostles. But at this early stage, it's Peter. And he was hugely important in the early days of the church. He did follow. He stopped worrying about the past, and he went where Jesus told him to go. Will you? Will I? Because Jesus says, as we go into 2019, follow me. So will you? Follow me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the Lord of individual lives. And we thank you that Jesus called unto himself men like Peter and John and James and Matthew. And we thank you, Father, for the disciples and their faithfulness, and how though Jesus was the Lord of history who sits on the throne of heaven, he has dealings with individuals on a day-to-day basis. Father, we thank you that as we tonight, Lord God, just reflect on a year that is rapidly running out and to a new year that is opening up before us, that we, Heavenly Father, have the challenge of whether we're going to let the past hold us back or whether we're going to say with the Apostle Paul that forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that you always lead us that little bit further, that we are never to stay where we are, that you always open up fresh horizons, and especially in Jesus Christ, we have, O God, a leader, we have a Savior, we have a Shepherd, we have one who goes before us, and he says to us, follow me. And his sheep hear him. They know his voice. They follow him. And our God, we pray that you would help us to follow Jesus Christ. Whatever he asks of us, wherever he leads us, whatever he would have us to do. Lord, may our lives glorify him. May our lives honor him. And Father, we pray that you will grant us ears to hear. Grant us, Lord, wills to obey. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.